Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This is the last in the series that started just before Christmas. Preached on the pre-incarnate Christ, the incarnation, him actually visiting this earth in the form of man, the early years versus or ages 1 through 12, the ministry years 30 through 33, the post-resurrection earthly ministry, and then what Jesus is doing today, and that Jesus is coming again. Preached on the judgment seat of Christ and the millennial reign of Christ. You've missed a lot if you haven't been here, if you've missed just a few. And then this morning I'm going to be preaching the final message on the great white throne of Christ, when he stands, when unsaved, all the unsaved stand before God. And I hope you'll have a good understanding of what it's all about as we are working our way through this. Next Sunday morning, we're going to move on to something else. So I heard that there was a man by the name of Harvey Stringer, and he's dead, gone. He's in heaven now, been gone a long time. But he used to tell the story of when he would and they were poor, and this was years ago, and he'd be up in the loft at the end of the day, and his entertainment, when he saved up enough money, he went to the dime store, and he'd buy a novel, some fiction, and his entertainment, he'd be up in his bed, in the loft, in the cabin, with a coal lamp burning, and he would read these dime store novels, and eventually, his mom would always call up and call him by name, say, "Harvey, turn off the coal lamp. Your dad works hard for that coal oil. It's time to go to bed." And inevitably, he'd shout down from the loft, "Mom, I'm just to the part. The bad guy's winning. He's got the girl. He's tied her to the railroad tracks. I don't, please, give me 5 more minutes." And she'd inevitably yell up, "Okay, just 5 more minutes." Well, he couldn't read the whole book in 5 minutes, so you know what he'd do? He'd go to the last chapter, and he'd read the last chapter, and he found out that the hero come and would rescue the damsel in distress, and they would get married, and they would live happily ever after. Now, the fact is, we are right towards the end of time, and there's not a lot of effort, not a lot of time left for the Church of Jesus Christ, and I've already read the last chapter of the book, and the hero does return, and we do live happily ever after. And his name is Jesus. But there are several events that take place, and that's what I've been preaching on of late over the course of the winter. By the way, you want some encouragement? This is the last Sunday of February. Amen. All God's youpers said amen. Amen. Man, we're into March. It doesn't mean winter's over. We know that. Then we're going to get to the first day of April, and we're into April. And we know that winter's not over yet because we're in the UP. But the fact is, we're getting closer, and there's more sunshine. That's something to be somewhat encouraged about. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation and chapter 20. Revelation and chapter 20. Great white throne judgment. There's a black day coming. An ominous day. This is not a shouting kind of message, although we can rejoice in our Savior, that our name will not be called, will not stand at the great white throne judgment, everybody who's born again. But if you're here or listening by way of radio and you're not saved, this is the judgment where you go. This is where you'll be resurrected, and you'll stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is where you will be damned to hell, to the bottomless pit, forever and ever. It's a terrible thought. Verse 1 of chapter 20 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." Stand with me, would you please? I'll read a few verses and I'll pray again. "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." This is a great day of victory. This is when the devil himself, four names used to describe him here in the very next verse, verse 2. This is when the devil himself is put in chains. He is incarcerated. He is in chains for 1,000 years. He's never been in chains. He's walking about this earth today, going to and fro, just like in the days of Job. He's got access to the throne of God. He's the accuser of the brethren. Halfway through the tribulation, he'll lose that access to the throne of God. And then during this time, what we're reading right now in Revelation in chapter 20, right at the end of the tribulation, just as the millennial reign begins to start, the devil himself is put in chains. Verse 2 says, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent," two names for the devil, "which is the devil," another name, "and Satan," another name, "and bound him 1,000 years. Last Sunday morning, preached on the millennial reign. "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him." That word pit means abyss. This is the place of the dead. This is the abode of demons that are right now in chains. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. I pray that you'd arrest our attention and help us all to be students of the Bible this morning. Follow along, pen in hand, and take notes. And God, would you grow us in faith as we come to understand in an even better way the Word of God. This doctrine of the great white throne, God, would you give to us understanding, enlightenment. Take the holy Word of God and penetrate our hearts. And God, may we never forget the day that is coming. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this is right at the end of the 1,000-year reign. He is put in chains. Verse 3 again says, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive." And by the way, that's what he's about all the time. Deceiving peoples and nations and individuals, that he should not deceive the nation, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. I think I preached some of that last Sunday morning. And he'll be loosed because there will be generations of mankind on this earth at the end of the millennial reign of Christ that never knew temptation like we know it and never had to face the deceiver like we do. And he's going to be loosed for just that little bit of time. Verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, these are tribulation saints, and which had not worshipped the beast or the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now, in order to understand this, you've got to put this together. Grammatically, here's how it breaks down. The phrase verse 5, "but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished," that's in parentheses. And you could draw a line from that down to verse 11. But that's in a moment. This is the first resurrection is referring to verse 4. It's referring to the saints, the tribulation saints. Verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." These are born again people. "On such the second death hath no power." I haven't heard this in a long time. You know, if you are born once, you die twice. If you are born twice, you die once. No second death on born-again believers. You don't have to worry about the bottomless pit. You don't have to fear the lake of fire. That is not for children of God. That's for people who are only born one time. That phrase "born again" is from Jesus. People that were just born one time physically into this world, their name was never recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life because they never get born again. And I preach that to you right now. Just stop here for just a second. If you are lost, If you don't know that your sins are forgiven, come to Christ today. Behold, now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out in verses 8, 9, and 10. I'm going to read it. It is a dramatic conclusion to the 1,000-year reign of Christ, to the millennial kingdom. You see, there's going to be rebellion right at the end of the millennial kingdom. Gog and Magog are going to march down from the north. The devil himself is going to be their leader. Let's read about it. Verse 8 says, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are at the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. And that's Russia, by the way. And the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp, that's Jerusalem, the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Jesus to the rescue. And the devil that deceived them. Now this is it. Verse 10, for the devil, this is going to be forever hell. That's what verse 10 is talking about. He was put in chains for 1,000 years. This is his final landing. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Forever hell. Now let me give you some theology here, just so you can kind of file it in the back of your minds. It'll help you keep it all together. Nobody is in hell today. They're in Hades. Hell is a word we use to describe together, like the second coming describes the rapture and Armageddon and the Lord's return. All right? Two events. Hell itself, we use that word to describe Hades and the bottomless pit, the lake of fire. We use one word to describe them both. Truthfully, they are in Hades. Any of the unsaved today are in Hades, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, Jesus said. So they're in Hades today, and they've died without Christ. They were never born again. And so they are in Hades, and they will be resurrected. They'll be resurrected for the great white throne judgment. That's what we're going to read about. They will be for just a moment in time. They'll be taken from the fires of Hades, from the fires of hell, and they'll be resurrected to stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment. Here's an ominous thought. We have an advocate. We have a mediator. The greatest defense attorney this universe has ever known. His name is Jesus Christ. He is our go-between. You know, at the great white throne, the souls that stand before God, they stand before Jesus. All judgment is committed unto the Son. Now all of a sudden, the defense, the advocate, the mediator is now the judge. These people that are resurrected for the great white throne, they'll stand before God without a defense attorney, without an advocate, without a spokesman, because the books will be read and their name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then it uses the word, the plurality of books, because Jesus taught there are degrees of punishment in the pit, in hell. I get ahead of myself. Let's go back to verse 11 again. Verse 10 says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Daniel Webster was a brilliant man. As a matter of fact, we got a dictionary that he compiled and was named after him and did 98% of the work on it. And he was asked by some of his peers what the greatest thought, he was considered a genius. What is the greatest thought that ever entered your mind? The mind of Daniel Webster. He said, the greatest thought that's ever entered my mind is my accountability to God. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, if you're born again, we already preached about the bema seat of Christ. Our sins were nailed to the cross. We have a defense attorney. We have a mediator, an advocate. The bema seat of Christ is all about receiving rewards. We'll receive the things done in this body, the opportunity after being saved by grace, what we did for Jesus, what we actually did for God, then we'll be rewarded accordingly and why we did those things. There won't be any mistakes. God knows my mind better than I know my mind. He knows my heart better than I know my heart. And I'll be rewarded accordingly. But nobody that stands at the bema seat is going to go to hell, because we're children of God. This takes place in heaven. This is during the tribulation in the heavenlies. And when Jesus returns for Armageddon, for the marriage supper of the Lamb, we've already been rewarded. We've got our rewards with us. We're dressed in white, the scripture says. But those that never get born again, they die and they leave this earth and they go to hell. They go to Hades. They put their bodies in the ground, just like the bodies of the saints go in the ground. But to be absent from the Lord, their body is to be present with the Lord for the saints of God, for those that are born again. But those bodies will one day be resurrected, and their spirits will regain them, re-enter them from that place called Hades, from hell. And they'll stand before God, before Jesus, the Savior. But he won't be their savior. He'll be their judge. And then every man will receive accordingly. Awful hot for Hitler. Awful hot for the pedophile. Jesus, on several occasions, Matthew chapter 23, Mark in chapter 12, Luke in chapter 20, several other occasions, referred to hell being more tolerable for some than others. God makes no mistake. But you got to know this. From what we know about hell and what the Bible says, the best place in hell is far worse than any torment this world has ever known. It says in verse 11, I saw a great white throne, great, mega, white, holy throne, judgment, and him that sat on it. And I already quoted John in chapter 5, where the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And he sits there as judge, and it's a fearful day. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I'm glad I don't have to stand before Jesus and him be my judge. I'm glad he's my mediator. The one who actually is there at the bema seat, he's on my side. My sins were nailed to the cross. He was my substitute. I'm in heaven because of the righteousness of my mediator, the righteousness of Jesus, the Savior. But you understand, everybody that appears at the great, mega, white, holy throne judgment, these are unsaved people. Some of them, by the earth's standards, are good people, but they never got born again. Some of them are religious people, Matthew in chapter 7, words of Jesus, but they never got born again. Some of them are preachers, but they never got born again. And all of heaven is silent on this day. All of heaven, their attention is focused on the great white throne. All of earth, their attention is focused on the great white throne. As a matter of fact, take your Bibles, turn to Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Some of you are familiar with these three verses. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Even those that are cast into the bottomless pit, even those that go to the forever hell will bow the knee and confess with their tongue that Jesus is Lord, one Lord. Go back to Revelation again. Revelation again in chapter 20. Verse 12 says, 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. John was allowed to see this. He views the whole thing. God shows it to him, and he writes the Apocalypse. He writes the book of Revelation. He records this for us. This is future. John is able to see it. He said, I saw the dead. I saw small, and I saw great, and I saw them stand before God. And the books, plural, were open. You say, why plurality of books? Because everything's recorded. God keeps track of all of our lives. And we who are not born again, we who are not blood bought and our sin washed away, our sins are kept track of because God is a just God. And hell will be, there'll be degrees of punishment in hell. And the books were open. And then he says, you see, nobody's going to be able to say, oh, I deserve heaven. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I'm glad I'm not going to heaven according to my works. I wouldn't get there. It took the righteousness of Christ, and it takes the righteousness of Christ for the sinner to get to heaven. The longer I live, the more I know this to be true. The more I study the Bible, line upon line and precept upon precept, man, the more I know I'm born again and going to heaven, and it's because of Jesus. And I understand that the only way anybody goes to heaven is the righteousness of Christ given to me, given to anyone who receives Christ as their Savior. That's good news. They're in a secret handshake. They're in a secret word. You just repent of your sin and you come to Christ as a sinner. And then you become a sinner saved by grace. And you're going to heaven because of the righteousness of Jesus. But understand, great white throne, they don't have the righteousness of Jesus. They breathe their last breath on this earth without ever repenting and coming to Christ and receiving Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. Not Jesus plus I'll do the best I can. Not Jesus plus some good works. Not Jesus plus some personal righteousness. No, Jesus and Jesus alone. They died without Christ. They went to hell. They'll be resurrected at the great white throne. They'll be relieved from the torments of hell for just a matter of a short time. And the books will be open. Their life will be reviewed. They won't have anything they can say. Then Jesus is going to say, look down and say, is their name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? And of course it's not. That's why they're there. But because their name is not written down. Remember what Jesus said to the 70? Man, don't be rejoicing over the fact that you have power over demons. Rejoice over the fact that your name is written down. Because their name is not in the book of life. There wasn't a time when they got born again. The high school class who went around it this last week when I was substituting as Pastor Josh was sick. And I had them all stand up and tell me about their salvation. And it was good to hear. It was good for them to rehearse it again. And it was good to see the sincerity. And I said, listen, young people, you got to know you're saved. You got to know that you're born again. I've never doubted my salvation. You say, that's arrogant. No. The lady that led me to the Lord's right in the back of the auditorium. And in 1968, when I got saved, she told me that I was saved forever. Because God said so. And I know I'm going to heaven. I was in junior high, and I went to Boy Scouts, and the assistant Boy Scout director taught me how to smoke cigarettes. I tried it a couple times. I said, man, that's not for me. That isn't even cool. It doesn't taste good, and not for me. And I felt so guilty about it afterwards. Man, I was so convicted. I went to church that Sunday, and I could hardly look at the preacher when he was preaching. I just felt so guilty. But you know what? I didn't doubt my salvation. I knew I was going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know that, get it taken care of. Verse 12, verse 13 says, "And the sea and the dead, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Man, there it is again. Those in hell today are waiting this moment they stand before Jesus. Can't cancel it. There's an appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. You won't be able to postpone it. You won't be able to cancel it. You won't be able to avoid it. Your name will be called. Verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death." That Greek word for cast means thrown. Nobody's going to jump in voluntarily. Thrown into the bottomless pit. Can you imagine the cries? Tears aren't wiped away in heaven till after this event. Can you imagine the heartache? "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Settled forever. Get in the book. What I'm saying is, get born again. Don't play games. Don't play Russian roulette with your soul. That's kind of a crude illustration of the day in which we live. I know that, and I haven't used that illustration in a long time. Russian roulette, you know, you put one bullet in the chamber, spin the chamber, and, you know, blank, click, click, click. Well, you know what? You're running out of chambers. You're running out of time. Don't gamble with your eternal soul. Hell is forever. If you die in your sin, you die without Jesus as your Savior. You die without ever having your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's settled forever. You're going to the pit, the abyss. The demons didn't even want to go there. Remember when Jesus, on the hillside, there was a herd of swine, a herd of pigs, and Jesus is approaching this person, and this person, demons cry out from this person, you know, "Have you come to throw us into the pit before our time?" The demons don't even want to go there. Man, you don't want to go there. Not to that place called hell. You need Jesus as your Savior. The dumbest thing on earth is to put off salvation. I know that's not eloquent. But let me just say it again. The absolute stupidest thing on earth is to hear the gospel and say, "Maybe tomorrow." That is absolute, that's ludicrous, that is imbecile, that is stupid, that's the dumbest thing on earth. The fact is, most people, when they hear the gospel the first time, people that I'm acquainted with, and it's explained to them, they want Jesus. They want, man, who wants to go to the fire? Who wants to go to the bottomless pit? Who wants to burn where there's gnashing of teeth and weeping forever and ever and ever? And even the best place, I can't imagine how terrible that is. Why would anybody want to go there when Jesus paid it all? All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain and he washed it white as snow. Why not receive Christ? Why not get born again?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.